Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement. South Carolina imposes DNA database at prisoner expense. Mumia Abu-Jamal speaks on the framing of atomic scientist Wen Ho Lee, and Court TV cancels its reality program. The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown. In June 1999, the South Carolina State Law Enforcement Division began a DNA database. The supply came from sex offender prisoners who were required to submit blood. But this summer, people complained that the database had less than 2,000 samples from sex offenders, and most of those were still in prison. Therefore, the database wasn't helping to solve any crimes. Many prisoners were released before having samples taken from them before the database got off the ground. Meanwhile, in Florida, a DNA database has been used in hundreds of investigations. In response, Governor Jim Hodges signed into law a bill that will expand the database to cover violent offenders, juvenile offenders, and burglars. The federal government contributed $4 million, and the state legislature budgeted $370,000. But somehow, this isn't enough money. Governor Hodges' new law requires prisoners to pay $250 each to cover the cost of drawing and analyzing their own blood samples. The bourgeois American state does not address the most serious crimes against the people, which include foreign wars, corporate misdeeds, police abuses, and environmental devastation. Instead, it looks for more ways to spend millions of dollars on technological fixes aimed at persecuting the same oppressed nationals that have already had their lives and the lives of their families and communities uprooted by the prison system. The injustice system thrives on imprisonment, not crime prevention, nor public safety. This database, like the sex offender registries, means that from now on, prisoners in the database will be considered suspects for all crimes and subject to biological search, even if there's no reason to associate them with any misdeed. This DNA database is part of the process of demonizing prisoners, just like the laws in many states banning former prisoners from ever voting. Members received numerous reports from South Carolina prisoners who have had their meager accounts raided or frozen to cover these costs. When prisoners were originally sentenced, this expense was not a part of their sentence. Once again, the bourgeois state has penalized prisoners' families for the prisoners' alleged crimes. Much of the prisoners' money comes from their families. The legality of the state forcing prisoners to pay for the program has been challenged and is pending in federal court. In a few moments, we'll bring you a commentary by Mumia Abu-Jamal. Mumia is a Black Nation revolutionary fighting for his life on Pennsylvania's death row. Mumia was framed for the murder of a police officer because he is an outspoken opponent of American imperialism. This Mumia Abu-Jamal commentary was recorded by Bruderhof Radio. Bruderhof Radio can be contacted at www.freespeech.org/Bruderhof or via the phone numbers 1-800-778-8361 or area code 914-658-8351.
Talk about rebellious. I'd like to bring up Judy Berry. Judy is an environmental activist with Earth First.
One of the things that Mumia has overcome is the incredible dehumanization as the system attempts to execute his spirit in preparation for executing his and other prisoners' bodies. For 12 years, Mumia has not touched another human being. He's not allowed contact visits. And he survived this with, as he would say, his aura of resistance intact.
Suspected spy, stealer of nuclear secrets, Taiwan-born traitor. These are some of the ideas that flash through the mind whenever the media mentioned the name Wen Ho Lee to millions. They rarely said these things, but of course they didn't need to. you know what they were really meant when they said, accuse Los Alamos nuclear scientists, and then heard the name, which shouts its ethnic Chinese origins. Nor did the government pull its punches when it arrested and interrogated the diminutive 60-year-old Asian American. Do you know who Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were, they asked. They stole nuclear secrets from the Russians. We put them in the electric chair, and we'll do the same thing to you, they threatened. This American citizen was thrown into solitary confinement for the better part of a year, over 270 days, to wait for trial. Over 50 charges were leveled at him. Bail was denied, and FBI supervisors falsely testified that he had flunked a lie detector test. When Dr. Lee's lawyers petitioned the court for bail, the government requests draconian conditions for bail. Tapped phones, sweeps of his home, monitors on his person, limits on discussions with his very wife. And then, after 9 months in repressive solitary lockdown, 1 week after bail was denied, the U.S. government approves a plea agreement, which consisted of a guilty plea to one count of the 59-count indictment, and time served. No spy counts, no espionage charges, no substantive offenses, and less than a year in prison. The spectacle of this relatively tiny man, bespectacled, a hint of a smile on his face, accompanied by tall, hawking, armed government agents, symbolizes the inherent disadvantage and powerlessness that a so-called citizen has when the government is against you. Was the prosecution of Dr. Lee a case of prosecutorial racial profiling? Ask yourself if he was a British immigrant, or a German immigrant, or a Czechoslovak immigrant. Would this have occurred? You know the answer. He was Chinese, Asian, yellow, and other. He was the forever foreign and the embodiment of the yellow peril. He was, well, inscrutable. You know how they are. He was everything but American. For as much as the media enjoys projecting Asian Americans as the so-called model minority, this is but a false label used to flog and demean the classical unmodel minority, blacks. When push comes to shove, as during World War II, the government, using the media, can as easily demonize a people as it can a man. And it can just as easily intern many as it can one. What Dr. Lee's experience teaches is how empty the presumption of innocence is and how powerful is the presumption of guilt. It teaches all of us the role of the media in justifying the unjustifiable. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
2 weeks into the airing of Confessions, Court TV canceled its version of so-called reality TV. Court TV had vied for a slot in America's voyeuristic, violence-ogling, and decadent culture, tailing programs like Survivor and Big Brother. Confessions ran real-taped confessions of those found guilty in America's kangaroo courts. Some negative responses to the show led Court TV chairperson Henry Schleff to drop Confessions. Critics concerned centered on the show's effect on victims or possible copycat crimes. Despite conservatives' criticisms, the show increased Court TV's ratings by 57% over the same time period last year. Schleff apologized and stated that he had not intended to offend. He said that the cancellation shows that Court TV is not only concerned with ratings, but with quality programming. Court TV gets to benefit from its plunge into one of the more overt forms of America's violent culture, and at the same time gets to play one of the good guys, backing away from violent programming. Yet Court TV, like other entertainment businesses, continues to benefit from the pro-prison craze in America through its talk show-style programs centered on America's kangaroo courts. Bourgeois culture reflects the economic relations in society and serves to bolster the foundations of the economic structure. Within the current imperialist system, America attaches itself like a violent leech to the majority of the world and survives only as a parasite. America's automaton drooling over parasite entertainment mimics the way Americans live. Instead of productive, educational programming, Americans get voyeurism, just as they are largely paper pushers rather than productive workers. Confessions raised ratings because America has become entrenched in its prison-crazed culture. Shows like Cops and four-hour police car chases are typical. American prisons serve as a tool of national oppression and social control. To bolster support for these fascistic tools, culture must downplay the significance of the humans under lock and key. The more animalistic the prisoners are portrayed, the more violence against them is justified. Americans need little convincing of the importance of prisons to their way of life. The American prison system provides white settler nation members with jobs and continues the political and economic advantage of the white settler nation over oppressed nations. But continued police brutality and extreme violence against prisoners must be justified within American art. We do not single out Court TV for capitalizing on the pro-prison culture. But just as Court TV used the opportunity to increase its ratings, we use the opportunity to explain why American culture is messed up. Beyond the fact that American culture trivializes violence against the people and is training future generations to do so, American culture lacks science. They call it reality TV, but there is little reality to a show that depicts horrific murder and rape stories when the majority of prisoners are incarcerated for nonviolent crime convictions. A reality TV program about prisoners would have to include white pigs having leeway to target oppressed nationals for searches and arrests. Such a program would have to follow the oppressed national into the courtroom, where they have little defense resources and courts that are run in the white nation's interests. The program would also have to follow prisoners into their cells, where they are beaten and denied medical treatment. The reality show would then close showing the conditions of released prisoners after years of denied education and training. The conservative critic's problem with the show was that it infringed upon the rights of so-called victims. Where is the science? If one is truly concerned with the people against whom crimes are committed, then you need to start with the real victims. The majority of crimes are committed against oppressed nations. To genuinely be concerned with victims of crimes, you have to aim your fire against imperialist governments, their lackeys, and imperialist corporations. And to address crimes against individuals in America, you need to start with the victims of crimes committed by the state. These crimes include everything from police brutality to exploitation of undocumented workers to ignoring the solutions of street crime. We live under a dictatorship of the bourgeoisie, in which capitalists make a profit off of violence. Defense contractors profit from making war. The entertainment industry profits from glorifying imperialist war. Under the dictatorship of the proletariat, profit will not be made off of human suffering. Pornography and the denigration of the masses for profit will be banned under socialism. Culture should serve the needs of the people. The needs of the people include genuine education to take part in society's productive members, whether it is confessions or law and order. American culture fails to meet the needs of the oppressed. This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league and Maoist internationalist movement program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email radio@mim.org.